Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, this is another segment in the occasional series from the third annual Jewish Storytelling Project that took place this spring at the Adolf and Rose Levis Jewish Community Center in Boca Raton. Our storyteller's name is Elise Handelman.
Before the November 2008 presidential election, I was in New York, but we were coming down for the winter, and I wanted to make sure Florida become Democratic, to try to turn Florida blue. So we came down a few weeks before the election, and the day after we arrived, I went to a Broward County Democratic Club in Coconut Creek and asked to volunteer. I was asked what I wanted to do, and I said I'd like to work on the phone banks. So they said, fine. So I don't drive, so I had my husband drive me early morning every day after that. And every time he came to pick me up, I'd say, wait a little while, because I wanted to make more and more phone calls each day because I was determined to make Florida blue. So when I was making these calls, I called different people and some people hung up on me, which I didn't care. I was just determined to go to the next name on the list that they gave me. Some people said, I'm going to vote for Obama, but don't tell my husband. And I laughed because I didn't know their husband. There's no way I could tell him. But we kind of, you know, laughed, right? And then call after call, I was getting different responses. And one call, I called this woman, and she says to me, I'm going through cancer treatments right now, and if he doesn't get elected, I don't know how I'm going to live. Well, I could not let that comment go by. I don't know if I was supposed to say, can I take your number? But I thought, in my heart, this is what I have to do. So I said, do you mind if I take your name and number and call you after the election? She said, no problem. Her name is Emily. And the night of the election, we were asked to go to the hotel where a lot of the volunteers were to watch on the giant screens to watch the election come in. And we had done that in the election before that, and it didn't come out the way I wanted. So I thought, we're not doing that again. We were going to go to the office, a small office, with all the volunteers we had worked with for the last couple of weeks. And so everybody had their little computers out on the desk, and every time the election results in, we all yelled and screamed and everything else like that. Well, the night the turn blew, everybody, we were all screaming and yelling and everything else. We were so happy. And I couldn't wait for the next day so I could call Emily and say, hi, remember me? I was so glad because, you know, what she had told me. So I called up and I said, hi, my name's Elise. And I said, I would like to tell you that I'm the volunteer that I spoke to. And she said, oh, yes, 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 I remember you. So I said, I'm really happy when the election came out. And she said, so did I. And we started talking and we had realized we had so much in common. We talked and talked and talked till a couple of years, we mostly talked politics. And then I found out she only lived a few blocks from me and my husband, but she said that she really didn't like going out. She used to be able to make plans, and she couldn't really, and she didn't really want us to come over and like that, and it was fine. So a few years, we were on the phone, and we spoke all the time. Then it started to get, like, personal, and then we found out about each other's families, and over the years, we exchanged photographs of each other, so me and my husband and her with her family, so we kind of knew where everybody was. And we realized we became very integral in each other's lives. And I've been speaking to her almost every week since that election. And just spoke to her actually last night also for about an hour and a half. If I don't call her, she'll call me. And, you know, after 5 years, I said to her, you know, if I don't meet you, I said, the statute of limitations is up. This is ridiculous. And then last year, her son and daughter-in-law came down from New York, and she said, let me see if I could try to find a time where you and your husband could come over and meet me finally. So finally, last year, we finally went over to our house with her son and daughter-in-law, and we had a really nice time. And after we left, they said, I cannot believe you didn't have them come over beforehand. She said, well, I didn't want anybody to come over. And they said, but them, they're so nice. I can't believe it, right? So we kind of had a laugh. And when I found out last year, only last year, that she's over 22 years older than me, I never knew, because we had so much in common. We love The Good Wife and like all these programs. We have so much in common that age never was a factor. We just would talk and talk and talk all the time. You know, my husband couldn't believe how long I'd be on the phone. So it was so great. I never knew that I was going to try to make Florida blue when I made this lifelong friend.
Elise Handelman with a story about how to make friends.
Michael, I love this story for so many reasons, but one of them is we always get so much more when we volunteer than we give. And this is a story, besides the politics, besides the cancer, besides the anything else, this is a story about somebody who just wanted to volunteer and was compensated a hundredfold with a really good friend.
Oh, I thought you could say she was compensated with a win.
Well, depending on your politics, that may make you happy or not. But the fact that she made such a close friend, I mean, this was in the 2008 election, and she's telling this story in 2016, and this is a woman she still is on the phone with for an hour and a half. And if you noticed, these were two people who didn't get out a whole lot on their own to make friends. Elise said she doesn't drive. Her husband drives her around. And Emily, her new friend, doesn't get out much. And even though they lived close by, they wouldn't just run into each other at the corner store. It's just such a lovely story that they made this good friendship.
I admire how they developed this friendship, because I have a hard enough time just talking on the telephone. And here they're having conversations and they're virtually strangers.
If you think about it, they had a few things in common right off the bat. They both had the same political leaning and they both cared very much about the outcome of the election. And they were both automatically friendly people. I mean, think about the people who hang up, like myself, I hate to say, on pollsters and on strangers who, I mean, even nicely, I don't just slam down the phone, but who say no thank you. So this was a person who obviously had a little time on her hands and might have been a little lonely and wanted to talk. And here was Elise, who had time on her hands to do something that she cared about. And so there was right away what sociologists call a bit of self-selection going on. These weren't just two people picked randomly. These were two people who already had committed to talking on the phone.
Although they had a lot in common, there was a big age difference.
And I love the fact that it didn't come out right away. Many of my friends are quite a bit older, and age isn't really important to me. But I know when you meet somebody, right off the bat, you see somebody who doesn't really look like you, you think, oh, we probably don't have very much in common. This happens all the time. The fact that they didn't see each other, the fact that this started on the telephone, I'm sure contributed to their friendship.
It seems so unusual that a friendship would develop this way. That also seems to me it might be against company policy to create a relationship with the people you're trying to solicit.
Yeah, you're right. And this speaks to another thing that's interesting about this story. People tend, when they're in a certain role, they tend to behave according to that role. It's your doctor. You hope that your doctor doesn't get too overly friendly with you, perhaps, in certain situations, right? You don't want your massage therapist to step out of line, right? You want people to be professional. But every once in a while, when somebody does step out of their assigned role or prescribed role for that particular situation, I mean, let's face it. We have our jobs, but we're also mothers, fathers, friends, lovers, sons, daughters, etc. So the fact that Elise took this kind of leap of faith and that Emily did too, was another surprising thing that happened in this story. And it transformed the relationship from respondent of a survey to something a lot closer. And transformation and surprise, that's what stories are about.
Well, thank you for bringing that story in, Karen. We would like to hear more from our listeners. How can they get in touch with you if they'd like to share a story?
Send me an email at cneile@fau.edu or
contact me, 305-995-2264 to share a story, or go to our website for contact information as well as archive stories, wlrn.org. Find Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Mike. I'll see you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.